Good morning, Metroplex. It's a Thursday edition, Thursday. As the announcer guy said. That's RJ Choppy. Bobby Belt is fist pumping live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We got Pepe in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, on Twitch, and on YouTube. Thanks for being the total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, DFW Sports Station. The house of cards continues to fold. Get ready to fold for the Dallas Cowboys. As yesterday, we had some wide receiver developments. We'll start off with Brandon Cooks. He is expected to be out for at least this Pittsburgh Steelers game after an infection developed in his right knee following a procedure he had after the Giants game.
Only in Cowboy land do you, in 2024, could a player miss a game from an infection after surgery, which according to Google, happens in about 1% to 3% of patients.
Infection after surgery?
Infection after a procedure. About 1% to 3% of patients. So the Cowboys are so out of date. We know they're out, they're behind. They're so out of date, they're still getting afflictions that impacted people in the Middle Ages.
I mean, look, it definitely still happens. Alex Smith, it happened to Alex Smith.
He
after
almost
his
lost a leg.
Because of an infection. That's why.
That's fair.
But no, this is... I mean, this is... It actually makes me feel a little better, as bad as it sounds, because Monday we came in here, and when we did post-hut clarity, I had mentioned Brandon Cooks looked really bad against the Giants, and I had said, I was like, I don't know if he's banged up, or like, this is just a climb, but this is bad, and it was more just like a throwaway, like, let's give him some cover, because this looks clearly like decline, but this at least gives me some hope that, all right, he's dealing with something, he's dealing with an injury now. These infections, post-surgery or post-procedure, can get pretty serious, so hopefully it's not, you know, really bad, but this is still something that at least makes me feel like, okay, maybe Brandon Cooks is still Brandon Cooks and he's just dealing with something.
Explain what happened with Jerry in that confusion on Tuesday that a couple people and maybe reporters picked up on.
So we were, because we had talked about the Brandon Cooks decline, one of the questions we had ready was to ask Jerry about Brandon Cooks, and specifically about the wide receiver depth behind CeeDee Lamb, because people keep saying, you know, do you have the weapons behind CeeDee Lamb? Well, my question was following RJ asking a couple questions about Dalvin Cook. So when it got over to there and I had asked him about Brandon Cooks and said, hey, do you have the depth behind it? Jerry's answer was, well, we've got depth and I'm excited to see them have this opportunity if he's not out there Sunday. And I went, did he still think we're talking about Cook? Because Cooks and Cook, yeah, that's not that absurd to maybe mix that up. And I texted somebody on the beat and I'd said, I think he thought I was talking about Dalvin Cook. And I got a text back after, like, we were done. And it was like, I'd seen it after done. He said, I don't know that he was. He's like, you need to ask him to clarify that. And then I didn't see it till after we're done. And I was convinced it was just that, but then sure enough, he tipped his hand. He gave us the answer about Brandon Cooks without us even knowing he was hurt or had any issue.
So I'm adding to the Dallas Cowboys house of cards, my theme to the season, Mike McCarthy's contract, the other contracts, CeeDee not at camp. Deron Bland, Sam Williams, Micah and Tank injuries, and now Brandon Cook. So we're up to about eight things. We're up to about eight cards stacked up for the Dallas Cowboys through the first 4 weeks.
And, you know, of those eight cards, so obviously the ones that have gone wrong are the injuries. You know, the contracts, they got settled. At least two of them got settled before the season. So do you take those cards off? Or did they muddy up the offseason to the point where it was already damaged?
Like, did it cost Lamb any delay with rust and frustration within the offense?
Yeah, did it set a poor tone even? Yeah. Was it something where it was like, you know, even though Dak didn't miss any time, did Dak's contract issue, did people feel frustrated by how those negotiations went? Did it cause, you know, chemistry issues that are still there?
So we've stacked about eight cards. When do you think that starts becoming a little tenuous with the balance of when you're stacking those up? You're building some Legos with your kids.
Oh, I think it gets tenuous after about four. Yeah, eight. I think you're screwed.
Yeah, probably about 2 weeks ago, when 3 weeks ago when New Orleans came in here and did what they did. It was like, maybe these cards, maybe you got too many, which is at that point like three,
little
four.
Little Jerry Jenga that we're playing already. But there was a wide receiver name that a lot of Tolos seem to be excited about yesterday in Ryan Flournoy.
Yeah, and Ryan Flournoy is a guy that they're excited about. The Cowboys are. He looked good right at the start of camp, and then he got hurt, I think, second day of practice. Like, the second day we were out there, he had it was either a calf or a hamstring, but he had a soft tissue injury, and that put him behind so much that people were like, he's lost too much time. He's probably going to lose this spot with, Tyron Billy Johnson and Racy McMath. These guys are playing really well out here at training camp. But he ended up coming back and playing really well and pushing really hard at the end where he was able to make it. And so he'll have opportunity. I would imagine he's in the rotation and actually active and getting used. I don't know how many snaps, but he'll get work this Sunday against Pittsburgh.
Is only 1 week for Cooks being too optimistic?
Man, yeah, because an infection, you never know how those things are going to play out. And an infection in the knee sounds brutal.
Because I saw someone give a quote like, yeah, he'll be good in a couple weeks. And I was
I saw that.
Okay, a couple weeks or 1 week?
Well, and if this is something that happened Thursday night, you do kind of get the benefit of
3 days.
This is already the Sunday game will be 10 days roughly since it happened. And so you're looking at 2.5 weeks by the time Detroit rolls around. But yeah, I mean, if you could be through Pittsburgh and Detroit and into the bye week, and it's not until San Francisco before you see Bland, Parsons, and Cooks back on the field.
But, so wait a second. The procedure was after the game, or the infection happened after the game?
That's not totally clear. I believe it was from what's said, which, again, we're talking about procedures that people had done. You are getting into HIPAA stuff, and so the reporting can kind of be murky at times, but it sounds like it was something that he had the procedure after the game.
Meanwhile, two different reporters have come out and said the Cowboys are not going to be in the mix for Davante Adams. We start with our very own Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Don't expect the Cowboys to be there for Davante. Told there has not been interest due to comfortability with the current receiving core. Paired with the potential asking price for Adams, Cowboys value draft capital too much to be a player here. And then Jordan Schultz, more national, said Cowboys are not interested in Davante. The Chiefs are obviously going to be in the receiver market, but a divisional trade is highly unlikely. The Jets are seen by many executives as a top landing spot. We had Diana Russini saying the Steelers are interested. We'll talk to Andrew Filippone at 8 o'clock from Pittsburgh about their interest in Davante. He thought they were getting Brandon Ayuk. And then Ian Rappaport this morning says Devontae's clear number one is the Jets, but he is still open to other possibilities. But two different people saying Cowboys out.
I will be all in.
I think that, obviously the Chiefs make sense, but I don't see the Mark Davis trading him within the division to let them make history and win three straight. Whether they should or not, because they give him the best deal, I don't know that they'll ever go down that road. But I mean, I'm fine with the Cowboys not going after it. If they got him, it'd be great. If they got him, fine. I don't think the comfortability with the wide receiving core, that is laughable.
What have they said that before they knew about Cooks? What have they said that, they were comfortable before the Cooks injury?
Maybe. But it's still laughable. If you don't want to trade the asking price and then the money, I don't blame them.
All right, so I wrote this down as a couple multiple options. What would you rather the Cowboys say? What is the best justification they would give you for being out on Davante Adams that would make you feel good? One is, we're comfortable with the guys that we have. That infuriates me, just like it did Choppy, because your passing game is not good enough. Number two, we don't have the money for it, which would be a little bit more honest, and you'd have to look ahead. Nick Eatman, I thought, did a good job yesterday saying this $25 million that they have right now is not really $25 million. That's being passed along for next year. Or we really have to rely on draft picks because of the big contracts that we paid. Which one of the three, if any, because you may just say, I don't give a crap, other teams figure out a way to make it work and add people. The Cowboys are always just handcuffed 24/7. Which one of the three would you feel best with, given the truth and the best public spin?
Finances. Yeah, if you were to say, we don't have the money right now because of how we're trying to stack our books, and we don't want to be irresponsible and flip more switches to create space that, like, hey, let's just pay these bills now and not shift any more debt into the future. I'd like that. I'd also like if they recognized it as, look, we're not good enough for that move to really be worth giving up the capital.
That they would never say.
They wouldn't, but I would. I'd like that. Or if they just said, we're going to go get Amari Cooper, and that's a cheaper option where we think we're going to get more bang for our buck. I'd like that too.
I think the finance one, you can say that finance wise, they know more than we do. I know the numbers are public.
Yep.
You know, I know that you can find out all the numbers, but they still know more about the inner workings of what they have and what they want to do.
Of course.
And what their plans are. So they can always have...
Nobody knows the cap like Jerry. Just ask.
They can always have that plausible excuse there. Saying that the wide receiving core is fine.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I think even if it is fine... Like these teams should always be looking to improve anyway.
Well, it's not fine.
If you have a chance. Well, yeah, it's not.
We can't even start there as a jumping point.
But, like, I mean, every team out there is looking to get better at every position. I mean, isn't that the hell Jason used to tell us all the time? We got to compete. You know, we want to have competition in all these positions.
Let me ask another silly, this may be a male pride question, but I wonder if it plays into an Amari possibility. If the price to get Amari Cooper was a third...
Mm-hmm.
Would the Dallas Cowboys not do it because it would shine more light on the initial trade in which they got back a fifth or a sixth?
Oh, I think
would the guy pride just say, nope, I know I just sold that, but my part broke in the house and I need to buy one back that's more expensive. I'd rather just go without.
I mean, that might play into it. I think that they wouldn't go for Amari because they can't bring him back. They told us he doesn't like football. And
yeah.
Now all of a sudden, what? He grew to love the game?
Look.
He went to Cleveland and said, man, I really love this game.
Or we're desperate enough to get someone right? Who just kind of likes it.
I mean, in 2018, it got bad enough with the receiver corps before they went and got Amari Cooper where they signed Bryce Butler back here after Bryce Butler. And Bryce Butler is not Amari Cooper. Bryce Butler stood up there and said, like, on First Take, like, yeah, our schemes, they are awful.
Yep.
They don't know what they're doing over there. And then 9 months later, he was back in the building for 2 weeks.
But does that make them look less worse? Because you can say whatever you want and they'll bring you back. Maybe not Randy Gregory. I don't know. Does that make them look less worse than the trade value backlash that would come? Everyone would be laughing at them. You should do what's best for business. You should do what's best for the football team. And that would be Amari Cooper for a third round pick or a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
That's not stopping me, but you're going to get laughed at.
I do think that the Cowboys generally and Jerry have an approach where they don't care too much about what do people think of them. They are just about like, we're doing what we're doing. And yeah. That's why they dig in on all it.
The problem with Amari is there's no way they're going to give him his long-term deal given what they leaked out and what we know they feel about him.
Yeah, there might be too much history there for both people. Like for the Cowboys on this side, there might be too much history for Amari as well. But, I mean, they've got – you got to remember, they lost so much depth this offseason that they're in line for a lot of comp picks. The most recent projection said – they were likely to get a sixth and 3 fifth rounders next year.
Ooh.
Because of what they lost in free agency. Woo-hoo. So they've got a little bit.
And
scratch so me right itch, baby.
I'm saying they've got the capital to where they could probably more easily say, I can give up a fourth because I know I'm going to have 4 fifth rounders and a sixth. And I'm going to have the. And so they might feel like we can swallow this by giving up this capital because of what we've got.
You know how many running backs are going to be able to select in the draft now with all those fifth rounders?
And then just to add a little bit more sting and, salt in the wound, Derrick Henry, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. So there's one. There's one with Derrick Henry. I'd also like to go and look at the Player of the Week awards with the numbers that they put up and compare it to, like, the last few years to see how low the numbers were. Like, I went to look at Henry's numbers, and I was like, all right, that was a good game. But that was the best in the AFC. Just a sign of the times with offense in the National Football League. 877-881-1053. Off to a fast start for the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ. We have a State Fair ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway. It's Thursday, so 640 is the payload with Peyton Russell. All local stories in the Neighborhood Watch at 740. Steelers Insider at 8 and Babe Laufenberg at 840. But hey, Armpit, come here.
Hey.
We got a seat for you. Right here on the couch, the Astros are eliminated, or as Choppy says, the New England Patriots put out, and is Luka already hurt for the Mavericks? Next on The Fan.